Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Thank you, Jesus! Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. This is the 333rd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And this is part six and the conclusion of our series on Handel and Jenin's Messiah. We're going to focus on Job chapter 19, verse 26, 25 and 26. 1 Corinthians, that very exciting passage in chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. And then we're going to move on to Revelation, chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Worthy is the Lamb. So like I said, we're going to conclude the study of the world's most powerful, there it goes, the most powerful apologetic in music for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today we move into part three of Messiah, and this focuses on his resurrection, ascension, and soon return. Now, before we get into the message, I'd like to read an excerpt from an article featured in the Smithsonian. This is way back in 2009, and it was commemorating the 250th anniversary of Handel's death. And this was just a brief description of what happened in the audience during the first performance. This was done back in Dublin. On Easter, this wasn't always a Christmas thing, because remember, it has his nativity, passion, and his resurrection for the three parts. but this was performed back in Dublin in 1742. And here's an account that was written in the Smithsonian article back from 2009. And the men and women in attendance sat mesmerized from the moment the tenor sang the mournful string, accompanied the mournful string overture with his piercing opening, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Soloists alternated with wave upon wave of chorus until the midway point, Cibber, and this is one of the singers intoned, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So moved was the Reverend Patrick Delaney that he leapt to his feet and cried out, "Woman," he was referring to the singer, "for this be all thy sins forgiven thee." Now, if you want more information on this, Google, do an internet search, I'm going to say that properly, on Smithsonian, The Glorious History of Handel's Messiah, or just email me and I'll send you a link. Now, I don't know about all of you folks, but when I listen to these movements from Messiah, I'm moved, just like the Reverend Delaney was. And I just imagine that these incredible passages merely hint of the worship in the throne room, like we're going to see described in Revelation chapter 5 at the end of this message. But enough on my thoughts, okay? So let's dive into part 3 of the Messiah. And remember, these passages focus on the resurrection, ascension, and soon return of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm going to use this to segue in next week to a series on the return of Jesus. So we're going to get back into our normal message series next week. We're going to focus a few on his soon return. So this is part 45 of Messiah, and it's titled, "I Know That My Redeemer Liveth." It's sung by a soprano. It's an aria. And it's about 7 minutes long, and it's focusing on Job chapter 19, verses 25 and 26. Now, this foretells of our Messiah, and I'm going to read this. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." There's a lot packed in there, folks. A lot. So much. So what we're going to do now is allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we listen to Movement 45 from Handel Messiah, "I Know That My Redeemer Liveth." Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, these are some incredibly faith-filled words from Job. Just think about what he's been in terms of circumstances in his life up to this point. He's lost his son and daughters. His flocks were destroyed. He's covered with boils. His wife is saying, curse God, and his three friends are just like piling insult onto injury. Remember, Bildad said something to him in chapter 18, verses 17 through 20. He threatened Job with the very extinction of both his name and memory. But what's Job do? He appeals to God. He sees God as his Goel or Redeemer. Now, a Goel is a name given to the next of kin. So he actually says, I have a relationship with my Redeemer, you know? And it was always the duty of the kinsman Redeemer to redeem, you know, ransom and even avenge a family member if there was a wrong done, if they'd fallen into debt or they were in bondage. You know, think about Boaz and how he helped Ruth. So here we have this man who has never even seen Jesus saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I'm telling you, this is an incredibly, incredibly powerful confession. And you know, sometimes recently, with all I've been going through with the family and everything, I feel like Job. But praise the Lord, you know, our Redeemer, he lives, and he shall stand upon the earth. And though my skin may be destroyed, my flesh, it shall see the Lord. Now, folks, this passage out of Job, it's an expression of Job's trust, you know, his trust in the great I am. And you and me, we can put the same degree of conviction and the same degree of trust in the great I am that Job did, and the psalmist did, and Isaiah did. You know, read Psalm 19:15 and Isaiah 59:20. So what's going on here is the Spirit of God powerfully renewed the mind of Job. You know, he bore witness of a good confession. He declared the soundness of his faith and the assurance of his hope. Now, honestly, the only thing I could call this is a faith-filled foretelling of Jesus and his future rule and reign, both in heaven and here on earth. And it's going to be so powerful, folks. All wrongs are going to be made right. All sorrows are going to be wiped away. You know, think about this. Job, who lived millennia before Jesus, knew his God as his living Redeemer, as a member of his family. You know, he looked forward to the resurrection of the dead and a reunion with his sons and daughters. And if you read the very last passages out of Job, you'll see that he did know that. Look at the numbers. Study the numbers of his flocks and then study the numbers of his children at the beginning and at the end. And if you're puzzled, email me and I'll tell you what's going on. Okay? So he had this faith, not just any ordinary carnal faith, but the faith of Jesus Christ engraved upon his heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe that Job is our brother in Jesus Christ. So let's keep on moving here, okay? Now we're going to move on to part 47. Like I've said in the other passages, we skip about half of this, so I encourage you to go back and listen to all of part 3. We're only going to play 4 parts today. This one's a short one. This is titled, Behold, I Tell You a Mystery. It's a instrumental piece with bass accompaniment, and it's only 47 seconds long, and it builds upon the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 51. So just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, and I'll be right back. Praise the Lord, we all will be changed. That's what Job was talking about, you know. though the worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. You notice Paul didn't call it death. He didn't use the term death here. For believers, it's merely a sleep. We shall not all sleep, but be all changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. You know, folks, really, we're all just one heartbeat or one twinkle of the eye away from our appointment with destiny, where we will stand before our Lord and Savior, either as our Savior and our Redeemer or as our Judge. Now, they say that a blink of our eye happens over 20,000 times in a day. So just today alone, folks, we've got about 20,000 opportunities to meet Jesus. He may return today one out of 20,000 times. And just give a big wow to that. So let's move on to the third movement we're going to study today. And it just picks up at the end of verse 52. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, I'd like to read the beginning of 52 and through 53, but that's what the soloist is going to read there. And this is a bass, that's a fish. This is a bass airy. Anyways, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So again, let's just listen to this. This is about 6 minutes, 53 seconds long. The trumpet shall sound.
And we shall
Wow. Now, Paul calls this a mystery, but now we know because the mystery is being revealed from God through Paul and accounted for us here in this letter to the Corinthians. So we know, what do we know? Well, we know that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which remain, we're going to be caught up by some force, some supernatural force, almost like a magnet draws ferrous metal. And we're going to be moved suddenly to a new place. And praise the Lord, it's going to happen so quickly. And then suddenly, we're going to be in his glory, clothed in his very glory. We're going to be like him. That's what the scriptures tell us. Paul says, he shall change our vile body like unto his glorious body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. And I love what the psalmist wrote. Here again, foretelling what shall happen. Psalm 17, verse 15. Listen to this. And I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, it was a mystery, you know, because the prophets of old and all the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't have this special revelation. So do you wonder what it's going to be like in the resurrection? Well, that's pretty easy. We're going to be like Jesus. We're going to reflect his glory, folks. Now, the reason that some people have a tough time understanding the second coming of Jesus, and we're going to get into this, like I said, in this series we segue into next week, and why people struggle with the rapture is that it wasn't taught in the Old Testament because they didn't have this mystery revealed to them. They didn't understand the rapture. But now we understand. We understand the coming of our Lord in power and glory, but they didn't understand the rapture of the church. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. And that mystery is the rapture. Okay, now let's move on to this last part here. This is part 53. Worthy is the Lamb. And it's a choral piece, and I just love the choral pieces because you could just hear the different parts of the chorus going back and forth, almost like they're tossing the ball to each other. It's Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. So Revelation 5, verses 12 and 13. I'm going to read it here, and then we're going to play it. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him, that's Jesus, that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And I'm going to add, amen. So just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. This is a choral piece about 6.5 minutes long. I have one word for that. Awesome. Did you notice that St. John tells us of three worlds that are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Right in that passage, he said, heaven above will say Jesus is Lord. Beneath will say Jesus is Lord. And hell below shall say Jesus is Lord. So from the highest of highs in heaven to the deepest hell, I'm telling you, Jesus will be praised. Even those in hell, even those in hell. Can you imagine this? They're going to be forced to give him praise. If the sad thing is, they will not be redeemed. The truth is, the stunning, shocking truth is that redemption only happens on this side of eternity. Remember what the letter to the Romans says that Paul wrote in chapter 14, verse 11. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, Paul wrote, God hath highly exalted him and giving him, that's Jesus, a name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you just imagine, folks, what that's going to be like? All of creation, all the angels, seraphims, cherubims, the redeemed of all ages, they're all going to be worshiping Jesus. They're all going to be singing and shouting, worthy, you know, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings be unto him, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, folks. You know, yesterday, Terry and I were doing some praying and we skipped our daily bread study, so we read it today. And they focused on Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now that's a description of reality, isn't it? And when you think about the four creatures that are seated around God's throne there, repeating those few words over and over and over again, you might think that's a boring existence. And maybe you thought, listen to this being repeated over and over and over again is a boring existence. But it really isn't. Think about the view they had from the position around God's throne and how amazed they were at his wisdom and loving involvement in our lost and fallen lives. Then I start thinking, you know, what better way could we respond? What else is there to say but holy, holy, holy? Now, if it's boring, folks, if you find this boring, you need to examine yourself and see if you're of the faith. So let's bring this series to conclusion right now by me asking you two questions. Question number one, do you believe that he, that's Jesus, is worthy? Now, if you do, I'm going to ask you a second question, or really just another part of this first question, because I've got another one coming after this. So if you believe he's worthy, what do you actually believe he's worthy of? Just for you to pay him lip service? Or is he worthy of your love? Is he worthy of your tithe? Are you saying, oh, worthy is the Lamb that was slain? Is he worthy of a dime out of every dollar of yours? The Lamb that was slain. I'm asking you, folks, is he worthy of your life? Are you willing to renounce every vain thing that dishonors the Lord Jesus Christ and just say, I renounce them all? His love blew me away. It's so divine. It demands my life, my soul, my all and all. So is he really worthy? Folks, I want each and every one of you to examine your faith and ask yourself that question. Because in the end, all worship actually is recognizing his worthship. That's why we call it worship. Worthy is the Lamb. So we ought to all ask ourselves that question. Is this just something I sing? Is it going to be boring? Or do I really believe that he alone is worthy? Okay, so set that aside and reflect on that after this message. And then I want to ask a second question to you. Are you truly redeemed? Are you truly saved? The Bible said that the redeemed in heaven are singing, worthy is the Lamb. That's why I said beware if you think this is boring. Because if you're not redeemed, you're not going to heaven. Now, if you could go to heaven without being redeemed, you know what you'd be up there? You'd be a misfit when you got there. You would, because you'd be out of place. You'd be bored singing, worthy is the Lamb, for thou hast redeemed us by thy blood, and you aren't redeemed. So the second question again, are you redeemed? Folks, I'm telling you, we can only be redeemed by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we lift our hands up and surrender to him and declare, forsaking all, I trust him. So are you redeemed? Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Folks, he alone is worthy. And I'm going to tell you something. I mean this. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I'd give them all to Jesus because he is worthy. And I'm going to tell you something else. Even if there were no heaven, and even if there were no hell, but there's both, I would serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all my life because he alone is worthy. Folks, it's all of this, and then heaven too. You know, it's not that we get redeemed to go to heaven. Heaven's a byproduct of our redemption. And so with all my heart and all my soul, and as much as I have in me, I invite you right now to surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, just pick your hands up and say, forsaking all, I trust him. I invite you to know him. I invite you to give him your all in all so that he can fill you with the fruit of the Spirit. I just invite you to do that. And just know the joy of your sin being forgiven and having a purpose for living and a hope in dying. You know, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and dominion. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Folks, I love y'all. So praise him. And I'll be back next week with that new series on his second coming. That is, provided we're all still here and he's willing.